1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. It's summer vacation season. One Wisconsin travel agent says there are plenty of options, even on a tight budget. Mike Moan reports.
Economists are more optimistic these days when it comes to inflation trending downward, but childcare expenses and higher housing payments remain a burden on household finances. Wisconsin-based travel agent Elsie Rushline says if you're wrestling with the idea of heading out of town, there are ways to stretch your travel budget. One example is booking lodging that comes with a complimentary breakfast.
Sometimes the bigger chains include the breakfast and the littler ones, like the motels and stuff, don't. So you might spend a couple dollars more in the hotel, but you're saving that money, especially if you've got kids. Like, they always want to eat breakfast.
Rushline says you can also grab some snacks from that breakfast to take on your daily adventures. And if you're planning a relatively short road trip, such as a few days in a nearby lake town, she recommends packing food before you drive off to avoid spending money on drinks and other items at gas stations along the way. For households with a little more wiggle room for a trip further away from home, Rushline says it's not too late to book flights or hotels for later in the summer, but she recommends acting now to keep costs lower.
I would say book ahead if you can, because when you're doing last-minute travel, it tends to be a little bit more expensive.
For those sticking with the road but are worried their vehicle won't make the trip, analysts say car rental prices have come down a bit since their post-pandemic spike in 2021. Rushline says, if possible, plan a trip with another family to split those rental costs along with other expenses. This is Mike Moan for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at wgbw.fm.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of clouds and sunshine for your Sunday. Northwest winds and a chance of showers, even some thunderstorms as we head through the afternoon. Highs in the mid and upper 70s. Those shower and storm chances come to an end tonight. Partly cloudy, upper 50s to lower 60s. Right now it's 73.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This city on rock and roll.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. A weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everybody to another episode of Lean Local. Now, this is that radio program that does what we say. Lean Local, we lean into local issues. That's not to say we're not concerned about what's going on in the rest of the world, right? Like, we're very concerned about what's going on in the Gaza Strip, what's going on in the Ukraine. We obviously are concerned about everything that's going on throughout the country, the weather. And that's covered pretty much by your national and local media. But what we fail to sometimes spend enough time on is what's going on locally. And locally is really, at the end of the day, it has more effect on your life. It's decisions that are made in terms of garbage pickup, your taxes, the amenities, which we're going to get to in just a minute. And those are things that we're going to talk about today. The other reason I named the show Lean Local is it's not a political show. I mean, we have some politicians coming on. Next week, we have John Mockwell that's going to be joining us. But we don't lean left, we don't lean right. It's about Green Bay. It's about what's going on in this community, how we can make this a better community. And you know, people, even when I was on the campaign trail, it's like, oh, you know, you're blue or red. And my answer was always, I'm green. It's all about Green Bay. Not green because it's about the money. Green because I was all about Green Bay. So I mentioned amenities, and you know that Green Bay was named the number one place to live in the United States. And think about that. And it's just, that's incredible when you think about the, not just the 50 states, but all the cities within those 50 states. And yeah, I've been very fortunate. I've been to every state and really spent a lot of time. And to me, to qualify to be in a state, you have to, you know, definitely stay overnight, but, you know, have dinner and not just the airport or drive through. That doesn't count. And there's a lot of great cities. And for Green Bay, you know, last year to be the number one city and this year to be in the top, but 15, that says a lot for us. And one of the reasons when you read the report, you know, crime, affordability, that's important. But the amenities that we have here in this community are quite strong. And one of the things we, thank you. One of the things that we need to appreciate here is the effort made to kind of put the sizzle on the steak, right? I mean, we build amenities, right? We build Light Park. We build the City Deck. We build Bay Beach. And those are things that your tax dollars or funding, private funding goes to. But when you build these streets and these amenities, then what? Well, what you need is programming. You need them to be programmed to bring people to your city. And we have two districts in the downtown. We have the On-Broadway District, which is led by Brian Johnson. I don't know how, I'll ask him how long he's been doing that. And he's also a city council alder person. And then on the east side of the river, we have Downtown Green Bay Incorporated, which is led by Jeff Merkus. And when you look at all these activities, it's these two guys that bring them about, make them happen, decide what it's going to look like, what the layout's going to be, and they gather the money to make these things happen. So I'm excited about today when I invited you guys. And I have them both in studio today, both Jeff Merkus and Brian Johnson. And these guys get along. It's not a competitive east side, west side like some people think. I mean, it's truly the downtown. And the downtown, as many of you know, who've listened to me for over the many, many years, is downtown is, it's the heart of the city. And like you learned in biology, you know, everything pulses from the heart. And what we do downtown here has an effect on, you know, far east side, Green Bay, far west side, but really on some of the suburbs too, you know, De Pere, Alloway. A lot of times they'll take their cues from us. And if a downtown isn't working, I don't think the rest of the city works. So that's why I spent a tremendous amount of time in the downtown. And I was so glad to work with these two guys because they made me look good, but more importantly, they made the city look great. So, Jeff, welcome.
Good to see you, Jim. Thanks for inviting us here. Good to be with you.
Yeah, Brian?
Yeah, you know, lean local, but what you can't see is Jeff's leaning back like he's in a recliner in his living room. So this is going to be fun.
So you guys are both directors of BIDS. We can talk about that. Tell me a little bit of the history. You can, whoever wants to start, but a little bit of the history of your organization.
Well, Jeff's been doing this a lot longer than me, so I'm going to defer. All right.
Okay. So I'm executive director of Downtown Green Bay and Old Main Street. So those two business districts. A BID district is a business improvement district. And for simplicity, all the commercial properties in those districts pay a little extra on the real estate taxes to have an organization that's involved with advocacy and programming, events and marketing on improvements. You know, earlier you said that Brian and I are the ones who are making it happen. In reality, we have outstanding colleagues. There are teams of professionals that work in coordination of events. You know, the events that we're really proud of are the Saturday Farmers Market and the Fridays on the Fox, and we coordinate the Green Bay Holiday Parade, events like that. Mm-hmm. We're also very thrilled that the cool things that are happening in our downtown are motivating other organizations to bring their event as well in the downtown. So I've been with Downtown Green Bay for 24 years. love what I do. There's something different every day. And downtown has good momentum. And part of the reason, I think that it's important that there are organizations that focus on those districts. And for the city to support and sponsor and encourage organizations like ours, it's really important. And it was incredible to have our city named the number one city to live in America. There's so many things that contribute to that. And, you know, we're glad that, we play a small part in that as well.
So how long has these businesses in the downtown been paying a little more tax to hire someone like you and do events?
So the organization was formed in the late 90s. So it's closing in on about 30 years of existence.
All right.
About 30 years.
All right. And Brian, you're a little newer on the block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been doing this for 8 years. On Broadway's been around since 1995. The BID was formed in 2005. So a lot of times organizations don't always start out as a BID right away. They can start out as a business association, collective group of interested individuals that want to improve an area. And that's really what happened with the west side of the river. And, you know, I'm really probably most proud. I think Jeff did a great explanation. But one of the things I don't think that gets talked about enough is the level of collaboration between our two organizations. And I don't know that it was always that way. And we've really come very close together over the last 8 years. And, you know, our teams work very close. Jeff's marketing person, our marketing person, we get a lot of efficiencies when they're working together and they produce things together. So there's a lot of different ways that we do that in programming, marketing, business recruitment, retention. And it's really cool to see that when you come together, just the way that you can amplify your impact.
It's interesting that you point that out, Brian, because how many organizations share a website? So these two separate entities share a website, downtowngreenbay.com. And a newsletter that I started 20 some years ago is now including all three downtown districts. So What's Up Downtown is read by 15,000 people a week. And that's a collaborative effort by the marketing team of both organizations.
Hey, I want to talk a little bit more about the funding and then we'll move on. But just for our listeners that may understand where your money comes from, some people think that you work for the city. Some people may think it's their property taxes go to fund you. And that's just not the case. Your funding comes from businesses in your district. Now, is that voluntary or is that mandatory?
So I think each of our organizations is slightly different. In the case of On Broadway, we are not taxpayer funded. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. I report to a board of directors. The BID assessments are governed by a separate board, unrelated to On Broadway, and that's all regulated by state statute. Right? It's taxpayer dollars that has to have layers of oversight. But the BID, in our case, only accounts for 6% of our overall budget. So the rest of our revenue is generated through sponsorships, philanthropy and donors, event revenue. So we really earn most of what we do as an organization, but Jeff's model is a little bit different, and I'll let him speak to that.
Yeah, Brian is correct. We have a little higher dependency on the property tax business assessment, but that really only accounts for about one third of our revenues. So we couldn't have a team of 8 people, professionals who are, you know, dedicated to events, marketing, et cetera, and improvements without sponsorship, philanthropy, and other forms of revenues, grants. We were grateful to be one of the recipients of the Greater Green Bay Community Foundation, Give Big Green Bay. That is going to help us a great deal as we prepare for the NFL draft next April.
Mm-hmm. So let's get this straight. I'll move on right after this. But this tax that is levied on the businesses in your district, I'm assuming manufacturing pays less than retail because retail is the one that benefits from your events. But 33% of your income comes from that tax.
Yeah, for downtown, that's correct.
Right, and yours is 6.
Yeah,
I don't think I knew that.
No, there's two reasons for the difference. We have different mill rates, right? So the amount that gets levied against property owners is different. And we have different districts, different needs. They grew up in different times.
No, I get it. Yeah, I get it.
But other part is Jeff's district has higher value properties, right? So in aggregate, he's got more property value, but also that means more responsibility.
And you don't work for the city. You're not independent. Tell me who you report to. I just want to get the structure down, and then we're going to get into what you do. But I just want to get – some people don't understand the structure, and I don't think I'm one of them. I think I really understand how this works. But tell me who you report to on a weekly, monthly, annual? Who does your review?
Right. I have a board of directors, and we are a 501c3 organization. So it's a standard nonprofit board with a, you know, with an executive committee, no different than the hundreds of other nonprofit organizations. So, yep. And then, as Brian mentioned, there's also a business improvement district board. That's a little complicated, but we're a nonprofit organization with a volunteer board of directors.
No. And same holds true for you, Brian?
Yeah, same way. And the other thing that we do is we cross-pollinate our board a little bit with business improvement district board members to make sure that, you know, both of our visions are in alignment.
And in your business district, quickly, I want to know what the mix is on businesses and residential. You have both in your district, do you not? But I'm assuming it's a lot smaller residential, but your job is to bring people down to the district. You know what? Hold that thought. I don't know if you understood the question. I'm going to be right back. And you're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We're talking to Brian Johnson and Jeff Merkus about the downtown districts, how they're organized, how they're funded, and what their goals and priorities are here in the city of Green Bay. We'll be right back. Show.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Consider yourself a snowbird with property in the south, or just like to vacation there. You'll want to keep an eye on what's predicted to be an active hurricane season from now through the end of November. Forecasters say that there's an 85% chance of above the normal number of hurricanes, especially in the Atlantic Basin. Here's what it could look like. 17 to 25 storms, 8 to 13 of them becoming hurricanes, and 4 to 7 of those could be major. If you're wondering why, temperatures in the Atlantic Ocean are near record warmth, and La Niña conditions are developing, and both of these support the formation of tropical storms. No matter where you go, it's information to keep you and your family weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Jim Schmidt, Lean Local. You guys like that music?
Isn't it?
It's from Suits, yeah. Greenback Boogie. Yeah. That's, I was, when we started this show, we had, no offense, Kyle, or Con, some pretty lame music. And I was home, my wife was gone, and so Milton and I went downstairs. Milton's my dog, by the way. And we were watching, and it was going through Netflix, and Suits came on. I got to tell you, I got addicted to it. And I watched it for like, and I'm not a TV guy. I don't know, 11 hours? Watched it. And,
yeah.
Anyway, I haven't watched it since then.
Who's your favorite? Harvey? It's got to be.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you. Yeah. Yes. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. That guy's awesome. Matter of fact, well, I will tell you this. So on Marketplace, when you want to sell something, my last name is Spectrum. It's I took Harvey's name. Because, you know, you don't want people to know who you are. Yeah. Anyway, so we're talking with Brian Johnson, the executive director of On Broadway. We're talking with Jeff Merkus, who is the executive director of Downtown Green Bay. both in studio and we talked about the makeup of their districts. And just so that people understand, I mean, they promote a lot of things, but the makeup of the district is funded by the businesses and the generous, I guess, generous or the philanthropists in their district. But if you look at your district, just two questions. How big is it and what's the makeup of business and residential? About Jeff, do you know?
So we have about 400 parcels in our downtown district. About 250 of those are, you know, participants in our business improvement district. But we have vast majority of our central business district is corporate. Obviously, there are city hall and state office building and the northern building right. And churches and that sort of thing. But, you know, we have 1,000-plus residential units in the downtown district. We want to grow that. You know, there are plans on the radar. But, you know, we're mostly corporate-oriented than residential.
Okay. Brian?
Yeah, we're similar, right? So we have slightly smaller geographic footprint. We're around 100 parcels, but 150 businesses that we work with. Residential is the part that I think that's been lagging throughout all of downtown. And it's been a key priority. We have housing needs in our community. And I think Jeff and I have talked about this. Our objective is to secure as many as possible in the downtown area. That's what adds activity, vibrancy, sustainability. Yeah. So we've got a couple of good projects in the ground, some that are still being planned. Yeah. We're bullish on that.
So, all right, you got the makeup of the organization, how it's funded, and kind of what who's there right now. But really, your job is bigger than managing that district. It's to bring people into that district. And you do that through events. You have some great events. And I think in listening to what you just said, I think your hope is that people attend one of your events and decide to live down here. Because you need people living here to take care of when there's not an event, right? I mean, these restaurants can't just, nobody can survive on tour. Well, the Dells, but most places can't survive on just tourism, right? Look, it can be
people want to be a part of spaces that are alive,
right?
And they're active, right? And there are things going on. There are places to see. You have amenities that you talked about earlier, but you know, this is what you need in downtown.
So let's talk about some of the events, Jeff. I'm going to start with Broadway, okay?
Sure.
Some of the events that you have on Broadway to bring that excitement, that electricity down here.
Yeah, we do. Our organization does anywhere from 50 to 60 events a year that bring about 500,000 people to downtown, you know, mostly the Broadway district, but they filter out into all of downtown. And we use data. We use data from Placer, right, that pings your phone and actually gets headcount. So it's really useful.
No.
We get to see where people are going, where they go to when they leave. And you start to calculate some of the economic impact that this has, and it's tremendous. But we do Farmers Market on Broadway, Fire Over the Fox. So we actually plan and organize the 4th of July fireworks. Our Chris Kindle Market has taken off and been really popular. Our Levitt Amp Green Bay Music Series, which is a Sunday night concert series at Light Park. So a lot of different things, a lot of different variety of events because people have different needs. And we want to cater to as much as possible.
Just kind of listening to what you were saying. And they're throughout the year.
Oh, all year.
No, I mean, that's just important for any community to be active all year. If you're, you know, I don't want to mention any communities, but there are some communities up in Door County that really just roll up the carpet.
Yeah, look, and Jeff's team and my team, we took a trip to Grand Rapids, Michigan last year in January. And one of the things we really talked about was winter programming. They emphasize it, and I think that was one of our key takeaways. We're like, we need to do more of that in Green Bay, and that's why we launched the Chris Kindle Market.
Yeah.
But it's really recognizing that people want to do stuff year-round, not just 3 months.
And people need, you know, and there's studies upon studies that social interaction makes for a healthier life. I mean, you want to get out and walk, but I mean, to go with TED events is, it's good for the soul and it's good for your health.
It contributes to happiness.
Right.
Right. Loneliness. Right. Yeah. The loneliness epidemic that gets talked about.
So on Broadway, let's talk, what are some of your more successful events? I got to believe that Farmers Market.
Oh, by far and away. It gets written about by travel writers from all over the world. They come here and they write about it and bring it back. And in fact, we just had a message string with a lady last night who was driving up for Beaver Dam, even in the rain, and just for this market. And she said, it is the best market in the state. We love coming to it every year.
Wow.
And then they spend money when they're here, right? They stay in a hotel. They visit other attractions. So it's really important.
And tell me a little bit, you talked about, you went to Grand Rapids, kind of studying the winter market. Chris Kringle. Do you have others? I remember being in a dunk tank one time on your street.
Oh, it was probably Winterfest.
I hate that. I got earache.
Yeah, probably among other things, but it's no. We try to do.
Do you still have that? I guess I'm asking.
Yeah, Winterfest we do in January.
Okay, I would just want to talk about activating in the winter months because I think the summer, you know, and I think I think you have a lot going on in the summer, and I think that's great. I want to talk about Ignite later, but I want to talk about the winter.
What you're doing. Winter's hard. It's awesome. It's unpredictable, right? And you got to have contingency plans. And we try to look at when weather is going to be a problem. Are there ways that we can move things indoors to still sustain that level of programming? Mm-hmm. So it's really important to have good partners in our businesses. Have always been wonderful to support these programs.
And you need that activity because, I mean, February is tough for any restaurant.
And retail.
And that's what I'm saying, retail. So you got to kind of make hay while the sun shines, but you also need business to at least break even, right? Hopefully in those months. It doesn't always happen.
Well, we try to hit holidays too, right? So Christmas holiday shopping season is really important to our district.
Right.
We have that retail corridor, so we do our winter wine and beer walk. It's all about bringing people down who are going to spend money in December. So
I had one of your businesses on. I had that show with John Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and he came on and just was raving about that wine. Was it? What was the name of that thing?
The Winter Wine and Beer Walk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it attracts about 3,000 people over three Fridays, but you're getting them at a crucial time when people want to spend money and shop.
The guy said he'd been open for a year, and he didn't have 500 people in. The whole, you know, he just had more people in those 3 days than he did in the whole year.
Yeah.
I think that's great that people see things and... That happens that just happens. You go there like, wow, this place is awesome. Mm-hmm. So, and I think you do that. When we come back, I just want to hear a little bit about some of the major activities in the downtown. And then I want to have a few questions on some of the demographics and then a couple of the challenges that we face in the downtown. But, you know, these are the guys that make it happen. You say, man, it's an awesome downtown. Well, you can thank the mayor, but you can also thank these two guys because they really make it happen. So, we're going to be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Biden facing off against former President Trump this week. It's the earliest ever presidential debate, and this time no live audience and a candidate's microphone only on when it's his turn to speak. The Biden team was the one proposing the rules change, but presidential historian Doris Kearns Goodwin telling ABC's This Week it could help his rival.
It may actually benefit Trump because he can't interrupt because the mic will be turned off and he might appear reasonable. And I think at the same time, Biden has to be aware of the importance of vitality, physical strength, and mental strength for both of them.
Arkansas State Police announcing that a fourth person has died from their injuries after a mass shooting at a grocery store there on Friday. 11 people taken to the hospital after a transit bus crashed into a barrier outside of a building in downtown Seattle Saturday. One of the passengers is said to be in critical condition. According to state police in Seattle, the driver said that the brakes failed. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The passing of Willie Mays. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It happened this week.
Something to share from the San Francisco Giants. They say it is with great sadness that we announce that San Francisco Giants legend and Hall of Famer Willie Mays passed away peacefully this afternoon at the age of 93.
He was often described as the best complete baseball player ever. I asked Brewers manager Pat Murphy if he'd ever met Mays.
I did, yeah, a couple times.
More than once. Everett Washington, I met him once. I met him in Scottsdale, yeah.
What did the passing of the Say Hey Kid mean to Pat Murphy?
Yeah, that's my childhood. You know, my childhood is thinking about the guys I pulled for, you know what I mean? The guys that I was telling Ricky today, you know, like growing up. You know, I'd be in the backyard, and my brothers, we were from New York, so my brothers, one brother would be the Yankees, the other brother would be the Red Sox, and I'd be the Dodgers or the Giants. And if I was the Giants, I was Willie Mays. And yeah, you know, what an icon in our game.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of clouds and sunshine for your Sunday. Northwest winds and a chance of showers, even some thunderstorms as we head through the afternoon. Highs in the mid and upper 70s. Those shower and storm chances come to an end tonight. Partly cloudy, upper 50s to lower 60s. Right now it's 73.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Many people with unique homes reach out to Pella because our team of experts can customize windows and doors that match architecture from any era.
I love that I have a home that's 100 years old. It's a historic district, and we didn't want to ruin the look by having modern windows in an older home. When I found out that Pella had an architecturally accurate product line, they simply guided us and helped us to make a great decision for our home.
Order today and get 0% interest for up to 48 months at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Certain restrictions apply. 6/30/2024.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with a Work Money Minute about Buy Now, Pay Later services. You might know some of these names. Klarna, Affirm, Afterpay. These are where when you're shopping online, instead of buying something all at once, you can just pay 25% of the cost and then pay the rest off in installments. Well, turns out more and more folks are missing repayments. A recent Credit Karma survey found that 40% of Buy Now, Pay Later customers have missed their repayments. And that means fees, high interest payments, I mean like 36% interest, which turns these services from, oh, maybe useful, to, whoa, this is costing me way more than I expected. Buy Now, Pay Later services don't help your credit score, but they can hurt it. Not worth the risk. Those companies really mean that pay later part. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. For more money tips, head on over to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back to Lean Local. We are talking with a couple people that make our downtown happen. Jeff Merkus, who is the executive director of Downtown Green Bay, and Brian Johnson, who's the executive director of On Broadway. And in our last episode, Brian talked about some of the things that he's doing to create some momentum, to create that energy, to create that, I guess, to create that vibe in the Broadway district. And Jeff, if you could just talk about a few things. You've been doing this for, like you said, 25 years. Just some of the things that are working. And then I got a few questions on some demographics and things, but go ahead.
From an event standpoint, like Brian's organization, we coordinate somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 60 events a year. We're probably best known for the Saturday Farmers Market, Christmas Parade, Fridays on the Fox. But I like to point out that all of the events that we coordinate are free of charge. Everyone is welcome. We want anyone and everyone. We want programming for all ages. This summer, we have some events called City Deck Family Shows on select Monday nights. Coming up with dates in June and in August, we have Theater in the Park in Whitney Park. Right. So a lot of variety. Just for fun, a couple of my coworkers looked at just the past 11 days in the Broadway and the downtown district, and they just did some back of the envelope research just as the events are kicking off this summer. And in the past 11 days, there were collectively 11 events put on by downtown and on Broadway. And we just estimated somewhere between 55 and 60,000 people came to those events.
Wow.
Just over the past 11 days. And so, yeah, we have an opportunity to bring hundreds of thousands of people downtown for the Saturday Farmers Market. The contiguous businesses, they opened up their garage doors and have some hospitality and opportunity for retail establishments. A part of our goal is that when someone comes to our downtown for a unique event, they might be inspired to check out a nearby restaurant, to possibly live here at some point, or maybe open a business someday. And it's because of the vibe that's created by, you know, many events like this.
Yeah. Hey, are you guys chasing any business, or is that the city's economic development? Like, I'm not talking about IKEA. I'm talking about a retail business, Williams-Sonoma or something. You know, like that, a really good cooking place. Do you do that, or how does that work?
We work very closely with city departments and other economic development entities in recruiting businesses. But yes, the business development component of our organizations, and, you know, speaking both for Brian and us, you know, we are always willing to track down, recruit. And a lot of times, you know, when St. Brendan's Inn was recruited to the downtown, yeah, that was a coordinated effort. You know, you were involved, the chamber was involved, downtown was involved, and, you know, those types of activities happen all the time, especially in related to real estate development. We have some significant properties that are being looked at, and we are courting numerous developers to acquire and develop properties.
Brian, anything you get your eye on, or is it just...
Yeah, I think it's a little bit like playing Tetris, right? You want the right businesses in the right buildings, and to have a retail corridor, you have to have retail. Oftentimes what you see is people like the vibe, and so offices start to move in and gobble up the retail space, and it erodes at it. So we can't say no to somebody, of course, and we're going to support every business in our district, but we like to influence or encourage certain types of uses in different spaces to get the best result.
And I just want to get a feel for our listeners. Do you do that, or does the city do that? Because the city has a good, they have an economic development department.
Yeah, I think it's a partnership. We do a lot of it, you know, boots on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, they might come at it from a more high level perspective. And obviously, when it comes to development agreements with larger projects, they're obviously the lead on that.
Yeah. And I'm glad we made a change, because the guy who was there was useless. He applied to a job for DePere. They didn't hire him. DePere's 20,000 people, were 107,000. We hired this clown, and he did nothing. I just thought he was a terrible hire for the city. I'm glad he's gone, and I'm hoping we can pick up the pace, because I think we missed some opportunities. I think you guys are working hard, but if it's a collaboration, you need, you know, a partnership, and you're missing one of the, you know, one of the partners, it's tough to run the show, and I just think we lost a lot of ground. So
it really is important that we collaborate with the New North and the Chamber of Commerce,
right,
City Economic Development, Small Business Development Centers. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, we're working collectively to recruit quality organizations. We want to build, you know, having strong companies that are building their employee base, because then some of those employees will want to live in outstanding downtown housing, et cetera.
Right. That's great. Hey, I want to end on a high note, so I'm going to go to the low note now. You know, I work down here. It's funny. I worked down here in the morning on the east side. It is district. I work on the west side in your district. I hate the trains.
Noted. We do too. And they always seem to come through at 8 o'clock and 4 o'clock.
And far be it for me to ever be in a hurry late for something. But, you know, and look, I was doing that for 16 years, the city. But any activities with that, or any talk of...
Now, the challenge is it's regulated by the Interstate Commerce Clause. We can't touch it, okay, right? We can't regulate it. We can't, but, you know, it's challenging.
All right. I just had to mention that, because if I didn't, I'd get calls. How come you ask them about the trains? So, but just for you listeners that told me to ask about the trains, they're not going to do a damn thing.
Yeah, I wish we could, right? But the,
I know, right?
You know, the cost to put them underground or above ground would just be, I mean, astronomical. But the trains have an incredible amount of authority over everything that happens with their tracks. And
yeah,
it leaves us with very few options.
And they're hard to work with, even if you tried to do certain hours.
Yeah.
They are just like,
you can ask them, but they don't have to listen.
My response to the guy was, hey, look, don't mess with international commerce. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
So, but that was kind of it. Anyway, but let's talk. There's a couple things about the downtown that aren't great from what I hear, right? And I told people you were coming on the show, so I want to just go this. Parking.
Mm-hmm.
Parking tickets, I think they're $22 now. They used to be $8. And they seem very aggressive.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you. And we, you know, I've personally had a number of conversations on that. Of course, it's hard to really, we can plead and we can ask. I don't think it's very welcoming to downtown when we're overzealous with our parking enforcement. But it's also understanding we do need to enforce when it is a problem, right? So someone who's over their meter by 30 seconds, not a problem. Somebody who's over their meter by an hour, right? The point is that you're moving traffic. You don't have employees parking where customers should be parking. So a good parking management system is important, but I think you can go too far.
There's no way to give an hour grace.
Oh, I agree.
There's no, I mean, yeah, I'll tell you what, people call and complain all the time. And I don't think people who work for the city get the hang tags. They never get parking tickets. I don't think people realize how upset people get with a parking ticket. And kind of for what you're saying, I didn't have to come down here. You know, I kind of came down here to support Furza Distinction or to support, mm-hmm. you know, this restaurant or that restaurant. And this is the thanks I get, you know. And you know, I'm a recipient of that. I just want to say that, you know, I came down here during COVID. I even took a picture. And I went to the Northland for lunch with my brother. I was the only car on Adams. Like, there are all these empty meters. I was the only car, and I got a ticket. And it was like 10 minutes because I put the money in. I said, sure. You know, we're gonna. And I just don't. And it seems like people like laugh about it. They're like, yeah, you know,
and
stuff happens. It just doesn't seem like we've done anything. And then I had the parking director in here, and I'm like, why the hell are $22? That seems like a lot of money to me when they used to be $8. And he goes, well, you know what happened was COVID, we lost a lot of parking revenue, and now we got to kind of make up for it. It's like, what? I mean, in a capital, if you were a capitalist, you would lay off employees. But we didn't do that. We kept everybody, you know, give them all their benefits. And so now we got to make up for that with, you know, higher taxes and higher parking rates. And that's frustrating to people who are really trying to help you and make it work.
To add to that, Jim, you know, we do compete against suburban communities to bring in development. And in other areas where there is less density, they have wide open, gigantic parking lots. We just don't enjoy that benefit here. But in big cities throughout the country, this is what communities deal with, is paid parking. And so where I would admit that we have a ways to go, you know, we want people to come downtown and not get parking tickets and enjoy their experience and come back. And yeah. There's no easy solution to it.
There isn't. I understand downtown's paid parking. I get that. It bothers me when I drive in the ramp and, you know, the first, 40, 50 spaces are taken up by city employees and city vehicles. I don't know why they can't park on the sixth floor and let customers park lower. But anyway, I don't run the city anymore. You guys, let's talk about the homeless in the downtown. And also, I need to ask you about the noise in the downtown and things that you as the people who set the vibe or set the energy. I mean, those two issues, Brian.
Yeah, they're both important issues for us to be talking about. We, you know, I'll deal with the noise one first because it almost seems easier to talk about. You know, but obviously we've had some challenges with vehicles, revving vehicles, car clubs, things of that nature. And I know our police have been doing their best to stay on top of it and find those violations and take care of it where they can. You know, on the homeless side, we've met regularly as a team with staff, city staff, police department, police chief actually meets with us regularly as well to really kind of address some of those situations. We have different types of individuals that are experiencing homelessness. Jim, you obviously work for a shelter that does a first-class job of really getting folks into housing, and that's really important. Mm-hmm. I think we experience it probably a little bit less on the west side because of that.
I would agree.
Yeah, it's still there, but it's a little bit less.
I think it's managed much better.
And I would say that, you know, the team that I work with and lead, this is, you know, social services is not really one of our strengths. But we are very thankful that there are agencies and there are organizations in this community that are attempting to address. But it's really apparent the need is great. There's more need out there than there are services available. And at the same time, it does feel that at times homelessness is more prevalent in the downtown area. And there are some people who, you know, we try to point them in the direction of the services that they need and explain to them that staying in a park shelter is not where they should be. You know, our heart goes out to them, but we're very hopeful that, you know, that sometimes people in need find the services to get themselves on a better path.
But it's growing. I mean, I got the paper right here, and it's the lady from Madison that came in and said she was shocked at how much homeless has spiked in Green Bay. And I think there are agencies. I don't think some of them are doing their job. And I think that's why you got the problem you got. So, yeah, I just didn't know how you guys dealt with it because you got to hear it from your business.
Yeah, and I think from a development perspective, you know, there's obviously the humanistic side of this, and we rely on agencies that work in that field, you know, to help those individuals in need. And then there's the economic development side of it. And one of the things that I've been vocal about is the need to really to not concentrate so many services in one area, right? Because that we have to spread that out, and that and you need those services, right? We got to have them, but when you concentrate them in one area, oftentimes that's what creates economic development challenges.
Right. Another initiative that we were involved with over the past few months on Broadway and downtown, we did work closely with the Green Bay Police Department to put together a resource guide so businesses know who they should call. When they see this, they should call this. Everything is not an emergency call. And the police department doesn't take full responsibility. It's not their job, every situation. So it's better informing the businesses on the right strategies.
All right. I take some comfort in what both you said, because I think some people will say to me, you know, they're not doing anything about the noise. They're not doing anything about the homeless. And, you know, it's going backwards. And I think you could be doing more. The city could be doing more. I'm not talking about you guys individually, but I think more could be done for noise. I talked to a cop, and I think you were at the meeting, and I'm like, hey, where are the decibel readers? No, we don't have those anymore. And I had them when they asked. It's a small group of people, 30, that really caused the noise problems. I don't think it's more than that, 20, 30. And I just think with the homeless, too, I don't think we can get too hung up on all these activities and the NFL draft, and hopefully that's the shiny object. I just think, you know, we have fentanyl problems here. We have homeless problems here. And I see that. And I'm glad you guys are aware of it. And I'm not saying you're responsible for it, but people listen to you. So, and I think that's important that we talk about it. Hey, when we come back, it's going to be a lot more positive. We're going to talk about activities and what activities you have to bring in talent and retain talent in this community. My intern here wanted me to ask you that, but I'll have him ask you because he's very smart about, he doesn't know where he wants to live and he needs to stay in Green Bay. We'll be right back. It's Jim Schmidt, Lean Local.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We're wrapping it up here. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. And we've just had a great hour talking with two people who make this city happen. Brian Johnson, the executive director of On Broadway, and Jeff Merkus, the executive director of Downtown Green Bay. And what these guys do, and we talked in the beginning of the show, is you know how they're structured, how they're funded. And it's not your tax dollars. It's a lot of the businesses in their districts. And they get donations. And they bring about events. And they're very well of their community. They understand some of the challenges that we just touched on. But when we talk about these events, who are we bringing down here? You know, I mean, it's got to be people who live outside the city, I would think. I would hope. I don't know. And then, you know, as you see here, you know, we've got a couple of young people that work in the studio. Conrad, who's our producer for this show, and then Kyle, who is our intern, both college grads. And I don't know. You guys ask them.
So it just feels like a lot of people come to Green Bay. Maybe they go to school here. Or maybe they go to school somewhere else. And Green Bay is just kind of like a stone in their path to cross the river, right? They just kind of come here and it's just part of their journey. And then Green Bay just kind of goes away. So what are you guys doing to retain the talent and just keep the young people around in the area?
Yeah, look, I think that's a great question. In fact, I think I used to work at the Greater Green Bay Chamber, and one of the things we worked in was workforce development. I ran the young professionals group there for 10 years, and that was our mission, how to recruit and retain talent here to Green Bay. And it's amazing to me that we always said it was impossible to recruit people to come to Green Bay, but when you got them here, you couldn't get them to leave. Now, you're on the younger end of that spectrum right now, so you might be viewing, you know, your community through a different lens, and we recognize that. The way someone looks at their community in their early 20s is different in your early 30s, right? And so we have to create communities that are built for everybody. There's a great, you know, philosophy called the 880, right? Communities that are built for 8-year-olds or 80-year-olds, and we have to have everything in between. I would agree that we've got some work to do when it comes to amenities for folks that are in their 20s. We need to do a better job there.
What would some of those amenities be, though, Brian?
Well, from our research, what we've learned is obviously the arts and culture are really important. You think about live music, you know, is a big piece of that. We have some things going on in our district, like the Green Bay Public Market, as an example, the Shipyard. We're working on a stage and a pavilion at Leicht Park. It's trying to create public assets, urban spaces, public spaces that are activated, that are and of course, in Green Bay, everything's very heavily dominated by a drinking culture. And we need to create more opportunities that don't always involve that. And I think there's especially the younger generation that's coming up. We're noticing that they want some separation there. And you know, Bay Beach is a great example of a place where I think even in your early 20s, man, roller coaster, we know who to thank for that. Right. And how many people would ever look back and say, I wish we didn't do that? Nobody. Right. It was a wonderful move to make that park more appealing to folks in their early 20s. So we have to invest more in there.
And Jeff?
I think it really is important, Kyle. And thank you for your question. We need to be more cognizant that, you know, we have programming that attracts all audiences. And I do remember years ago we had an intern from UWGB. She was a junior at the time. And she came, started working for our organization, and she discovered how cool the market was and how fun the events were and the Fox River Trail. And she came to be a full-time employee of ours. And we use that as an example. You might remember Crystal Osmond. And it wasn't until her junior year of college that she discovered that downtown Green Bay, there's some cool things happening and it's all free. And that even kind of changed our way of, we need to connect more with the university that's only like 4 or 5 miles away to make sure that, you know, they know there's fun things happening. Check out the lineup occasionally at the Meyer Theater. There are a wide variety, over 200 acts a year. I'm sure that for those people who like a variety of music, will find something they like there. Most of the shows are very affordable. Check out a coffee shop or a restaurant or a cafe. And that's a start. But I would agree with you. We can do more and we will.
What do you think, Kyle? These guys onto something?
I think they're onto something. But I also think part of the issue is that I'm not of the drinking age yet. So, you know, I think once, you know, a year or so, then I'll just have a lot to do.
No, that's not, that's that. Brian, just, did you listen to what Brian just said? We need to get separation. We don't want you to be, oh, good, I can drink now, I'm going to stay in Green Bay. We want you to stay in Green Bay because there's opportunity. The arts are here. It's a creative class of people. I can make a good living here. I can make a lot of money here. And I'll have the resources to live very comfortably and have the money to travel if and when I want. So
there are also some young people who graduate and they go out to a bigger city. They may go to Nashville or Asheville or Austin. And when it comes time to raising a family, when they're in late 20s or early 30s, Green Bay is a great city to come back to.
I'm waiting. No, I think they will. I mean, I hope so. This is a great city. I mean, Brian, you've got daughters.
Yeah, and I think it's okay to acknowledge you can't be everything to everyone.
Right.
Right. And sometimes, especially when you're early 20s, you want to explore. That doesn't mean I want you to leave. Right. But it means sometimes people are going to explore because they want to experience turf that's different than what they grew up on or where they were raised. They want to see the world. We just want to make sure that Green Bay's top of mind when it comes time for you to figure out where you want to settle for your career.
In this collaboration, you guys working together, I mean, I still think we need more housing downtown. I think you guys would both agree that we need more housing. Are you working collaboratively on any educational facility in the downtown that was talked about at one time?
We'd love to have a presence from UWGB and quite frankly, any other university for that matter. You've seen this in other communities. I think of Ithaca, New York, where they had three universities that were all in the outskirts and they came together and collaborated and built a great downtown center. Right. And we need to figure out how to do that.
I mean we looked at the MSOE one time, the Milwaukee School of Engineering. Now they have an engineering school. I mean, this is 20 years ago, but we're like, look, you guys, what would it take? I mean, and I just think you need that higher level, high energy education. What a great thing Ithaca did. I wasn't aware of that. Three universities.
Yeah, wow. And of course, we can lament all day long about how we wish UWGB was down
here. Yeah, no,
the reality is it's not coming. So how do you get the right pieces?
I'm almost over that.
Looks like we only have 1 minute to go, and I want to just put in a plug for downtown residential because we have 500 units on the city deck, all 100% occupied for the most part, for all income levels. And I believe that bringing in more residential of all types is important.
Yeah.
It creates vibrancy. And right now, at the current moment, I think that residential growth is the opportunity for downtown.
Yeah. And the Ford at the Rail Yard is going to start leasing this fall. So,
isn't that awesome?
238 units coming to downtown in the Broadway District. Right. Let's get it full.
Right. And that it will get full with the amenities that you guys are bringing, the party you're bringing here. I just want to thank Brian Johnson, Jeff Merkus, two executive directors in the downtown. I mean, you're making it happen. Keep up the good work. And we're going to have you back in the future sometime. Talk about some more things.
Thanks for having us on board.
Thank you.
All right. Lean Local will be back next week with John Mako.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
We're
going abroad for the first time in years, to Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer.